Lord, I thank you for life. God, I thank you for life today. I thank you for this new day that we have, that we woke up this morning, that we are alive. And God, the beauty of it is not only are we physically alive today, but those of us who know you, Jesus, we are alive anew in you. God, we have a future, we have a destiny, and we have a relationship with you, the living God. And Lord, I thank you that we're going to get to talk this morning about hearing your voice. The fact that we have a real, active, dynamic relationship with you now. And that we can interact with you now, Lord. So, God, I even ask that this morning our ears would be opened. That our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes would be focused on you this morning. Lord, I just ask that if there's any junk that's jumbling around in our brains and distracting us, that it would just be removed right now in Jesus' name. That we would hear your word this morning. That we would hear your voice this morning. And that we would learn how to discern and how to know you more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm excited to continue our series. Ask the Pastor. It's been interesting. It's been challenging. One of the first challenges for me in the whole series is, which questions do I answer? I've got like 36 questions or so, about three dozen, as many roses as we have here this morning that were asked. And it's like, oh, which ones do we do? And so that has been the first challenge. I've been selecting questions that are going to really help draw us closer to the Lord, that will be practical to us as we answer the questions, and that will also speak to who we are as a church here at Evident Life Church, that will kind of help us understand more our DNA as a local body of Christ. Last week we answered the first question, which was, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in the church today? We went right for it. What is the role of the Holy Spirit in the church today? It was a great week. I'm not going to recap it anymore. Go listen to it. It's out online. Subscribe to the podcast. Share it with your friends. The Holy Spirit is awesome. He is God with us. I better move on or I'll preach it again. Oh, praise God. Let's go to question number two this morning. So our question this morning is this. How do I hear the voice of God? Whew. How do I hear the voice of God? Let me read more of the question. They say a lot of Christians talk about doing what the Holy Spirit says. That's great. But how do I hear Him and how do I know it is His voice? It is easy to say the Lord told me to do this or to go here, and then I was blessed down the road because of it. But how do I know it is God who is directing me and talking to me? Does God really speak to us? It's a good question. Got some good news right off the bat for the church this morning. Got some really good news. God wants to speak to us. He does speak to us. And we can know that we hear His voice. That's good news. Let's remind ourselves this morning of a few things before we dive into the specifics of how we put ourselves in a position and then start hearing His voice. I want to remind us, first of all, that we were created for relationship. We were. We just weren't created as an experiment. Remember a few weeks ago I talked about how, you know, life isn't, and the earth and life isn't some petri dish that God, the Creator, just threw out there and say, oh, what will happen if I mix this, this, and this, and this? Let's see. No. We were created for relationship with the living God. This is why we're created, and this is why Jesus gave His life then for us. To redeem that relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. Sin came and broke the relationship. God said, no, I created them for relationship, so I will send my Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that that relationship will be redeemed and restored. That's what we were created for, relationship. Now and for eternity, but now also. I think sometimes we cheat ourselves. We think, oh yeah, yeah, I was created for a relationship with God. I have to just kind of endure this world for however many years I live, just kind of make it through the best I can on my own, and raise my hand, walk forward, say the prayer, and make sure that I know Jesus, I read His Word, I pray, so that then I can have real relationship with Him when I die and I see Him in heaven and I get to see Him face to face. Then I'll really hear His voice. Then I'll really know Him. When we're born again, when we receive Christ, we begin that relationship right then, at that moment. Right now. Right now. So we were created to have a relationship with Him right now. See, the world was not communing with the Lord. They were separated from God. And so Jesus came back to remedy that, to fix that. To be the bridge between man and God once again, so that relationship would be restored right now. Right now. That's good news. And that's exciting. God wants to fellowship and to communicate with us. And this communication is a two-way kind of communication. It's not one way. It's not like a lecture. It's a two-way kind of communication that involves true dialogue. Talking and listening. God talks to us. When He talks, we need to listen. We have the privilege to talk to God. He asks us to. He instructs us to. And when we talk to God, He listens and He responds. We sang that earlier in that song. Some people may get a little messed up in the brain when you initially start singing that God will respond to me. He responds to me. Yeah, that's true. God does respond to His children just like you respond to your children. To their requests, to their needs, to their cries. If your kid goes out and they're playing in the backyard and they cut their toe on something because they live in Arizona and they run around barefoot, what do you do? And they're crying out to you, Mommy, Daddy, I cut my toe, I'm hurting. Do you respond to them? You respond. Because you're in relationship and you love one another. You understand how to communicate. You understand that you can go to one another and share with one another and care for one another. It's about relationship. And we have the privilege to communicate with the Almighty God, with God Himself. He has created you, each one of you. Pretend I'm pointing at every one of you right now individually, looking at each one of your eyes individually. He's created you to hear His voice. Jesus told us this. It's in John 10, verse 27. Jesus says that my sheep, He's talking about you. He's talking about me. Anyone that has received Him as their Lord and Savior. Anyone in Christ, we're called His sheep. And Jesus says, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. In these words, Jesus is telling us that we can hear His voice. We were created to hear His voice. We were created to know His voice. You can hear from God. If you're in Christ Jesus, if you're a new creation in Him, you can hear from God. You say, great, I heard amen. Yes, wonderful. But how does that happen? How do I hear from God? I don't know if I really hear from God. I don't know if I can really hear His voice. Maybe that's just for the other people. I want to hear His voice. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Again, you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's good news in that. We will find him. But there's also instruction of how we seek him so that we will find him. We do it with our whole heart, with our everything. God's word doesn't say here, if we allow ourselves to be consumed by all the cares of the world, if we're focused on everything else that's going around us, if we get all consumed with the busyness of life and all the gossip at work, and if we do all that, we get to hear from God. Now, God's word doesn't say that. God's word says this, though. If you seek me, you will find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, that's when you're going to hear my voice. That's when you're going to know what I know. There is reward for those who diligently seek the Lord. They will find him. That's awesome news. Really? If we diligently seek the Lord, we will find him. If we diligently seek to hear his voice, then we're going to hear his voice. Because finding God and not hearing his voice isn't fully finding God. If we seek him, we're going to find him. We're going to know his heart. We're going to hear his voice. We're going to understand him. But we must want to hear him enough to really listen. To turn off the noise of the world and to listen to God. If we want God that bad, if we want him bad enough to forsake all others, to turn off the noise, to get with him, God's word is saying, we will find him. We will hear his voice. That's good news. I just want to lay all of this out there. I want to lay this foundation and this groundwork of what God has to say that so that we know that we really can hear him, so that you know that you really can hear the voice of God and you were created for that. To dispel that lie and that myth that it's just not for you. No. You were created to hear his voice. It says in Isaiah 55, 2 and 3, back to kind of talking about turning off the noise and listening to the Lord. It says in Isaiah 55, 2 and 3, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? So it's kind of talking about why chase after this stuff that's just temporary, that's going to kind of all disappear, that really isn't what you really need eternally and really in your soul. In other words, don't have your mind on all the stuff of the world. Don't be distracted by the world. Why get distracted by the world? Instead, Isaiah says, listen. Listen to me. Listen to me. And eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest fare. And then he says in verse 3, give ear. Incline your ear. Give ear. And come to me. Hear me. That your soul may live. When we listen, we hear. And hearing God brings life. If you've heard the voice of God, if he has spoken to you, in whatever way he's spoken to you, that still small voice, the circumstances of life, somebody else giving a prophetic word or word of knowledge or something, if God has spoken to you, does that bring life into your soul? Does your heart leap for joy knowing that God loves you that much, that he's talked to you? Oh, yeah. There are times, though, that we don't hear because we're not focused, because we're distracted. I think of myself. So confession time right here. I'm maybe the only man in the whole room who ever does this. But I get to those points where I get so involved in something, whether it's I'm in my office and I'm working and I'm typing away and I'm putting something together, or something as silly as I'm watching a basketball game on television, or I just got my mind off in La La Land thinking about, I'm sure, very godly things. But my kids or my wife will come up to me. They'll ask me a question. And I'll be so out of it that I won't even hear their voice. My wife will come up minute later say, honey, did you hear what your daughter just asked you? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't even hear it. Maybe I'm the only one that ever happens to. But that's a picture often of what can happen with us in the Lord. Is that we can get so engrossed in something, so taken away by things in life that we can't even hear His voice, just like I can do with my children and my wife. Not even hear their voice. Not even hear, and often what it is just my daughter coming up, oh, Daddy, I love you. And I'm just like, oh. We can hear the voice of God, and He is talking to us. Remember in John 10:27, Jesus says that His sheep listen. They listen to His voice. This indicates an intentional action. You have to be intentional when you listen. You see, my daughter was talking to me, but I wasn't listening. I wasn't intentionally tuning in to hear her. I was tuned into something else. I wasn't listening to her. Jesus is telling us that we must listen to His voice. That's how we're going to hear His voice. We have to be intentional about listening to the Lord. So this is the first principle of hearing God's voice. We must intentionally listen. If you're a note taker, you like points, we've got 3 points. You're going to feel really happy this morning. Point number one. The first principle of hearing God's voice, we must intentionally listen. We got to want to hear Him. We got to want it. We got to want it badly. And when I say we got to want it badly, we got to want it enough to tune in. We don't have to go do jumping jacks. We don't have to go, you know, get perfect to hear God's voice or any of that kind of stuff. Get all fit and in shape. We just got to listen intentionally. Hebrews 5:14 tells us this. It encourages us to train ourselves to distinguish good from evil. We're encouraged to train ourselves to distinguish good from evil. It's instructing us to be intentional about learning how to know the will of God and to hear the voice of God. It's really speaking to even training ourselves to hear the voice of God. There are a lot of different voices out there. There are a lot of voices that are trying to speak into our lives, to tell us who we are, to tell us what we should do, to tell us where we should go, to tell us what's important, to tell us how to spend our time, our money, our resources. There's all kinds of voices out there. There's the voice of God, and then there's all the other voices. There's good and there's evil. The writer of Hebrews says that we've got to train ourselves to distinguish those voices. We've got to train ourselves to hear the voice of God. So hearing from God is a learned skill, and it does require us to be intentional, to desire it, and to pursue it. Now, some of you have heard about how bank employees are able to identify counterfeit money. You're familiar with that, right? First of all, they're trained to do that. A bank employee is trained on how to identify counterfeit money. But the way that they're trained to identify counterfeit money is not to study different types of counterfeit money. The way they're trained to identify counterfeit money is they inundate themselves. They spend all their time looking at the real thing. They focus on what the real thing, what real money looks like. By studying the genuine article so closely that it's easy to spot the fake. That's something that we must do. If we want to hear the voice of God, we've got to train ourselves to hear His voice. And we have to intentionally listen. So that leads us to our second principle in hearing God's voice. We must know God's written word, the Bible. So first of all, we've got to intentionally listen to hear His voice, to know what God's saying to us. We all want that, right? What's God saying to me? What does God want me to do? How am I supposed to, what's the next season of life? How do I approach the next season of life? How do I handle this relationship issue? What do I do? We want to hear from the Lord. We've got to intentionally listen. And then the second principle is we must know God's written word, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I think it's interesting the way that the Apostle Paul presents the importance of the Word of God. He says that all Scripture is God-breathed. How do we talk? It comes out of our mouth. It's breathed out of our mouth when we talk. Well, we know that the Bible is the voice of God. Correct? It's the Word of God. It's the voice of God. So, this is good news, first of all, for everyone here. You want to hear the voice of God? Read the Bible. Because as we read Scripture, we are hearing the voice of God. Which takes us back to point number one. As we read Scripture, we're hearing the voice of God, so we're training ourselves on how to distinguish between His voice and other voices as we are listening to His voice through His Word, through the Bible. So how do I train myself? How do I know God's voice? How do I know if it's God talking or somebody else talking? I'm going to read His Word because I know that's His voice. I know that 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through verse 11, where it talks about God being the God of all comfort, I know that's His voice. And I know that as I read this, I'm hearing who He is, and I'm training myself to know who God is, know how He talks, to know what His heart is. And so when I hear other things coming in from other methods and other means, I can distinguish, is this God's voice or not? We should be so familiar with God's Word that when God speaks or leads us in other ways, it's clear that it's God. Does that make sense? I mean, these are some practical things. What we don't want to do is just live the Christian life. We want to hear God's voice. We want the blessings that God has for us. We want all of these things, but we totally ignore His method of interacting with Him. And so then we end up missing it. Wanting it, missing it. Because we're not coming into agreement with His way of communicating. Because, again, we want to do it our way. And why can't God, if God's really God, He can just break in and I should be able to hear His voice. And I should be able to know all truth. And I should be able to experience all favor and peace and joy. Even if I'm doing whatever I want to do my way. Read God's Word and you're going to find out that it doesn't work that way. It's when the people of God come into agreement with God and His way. And they humble themselves, and they seek His face, and they walk in His ways, and they come into agreement with Him, then the blessings pour into their lives. Then the voice of God becomes very clear. Then they're able to understand. Then they grow. Then they mature. Then peace comes. Then joy comes. Read God's Word. We see it time and time again. And we see how, when we read God's Word, I get so frustrated reading the Old Testament because I'm like, okay, they love God, they're seeking God, they're being blessed. And then next thing you know, they start doing it their way. They don't listen to God anymore. They don't inquire of the Lord anymore. They don't do it His way. They start seeking things that they think are going to make them happy, and they're so smart now, they know all things. They're going to do it their way. And what happens, we see the blessing of God, the favor of God, the hand of God, the voice of God disappears from the people of God, and things get really bad, and we get really sad as we read that, and then finally they turn around, and they come back to God, and it's just this crazy cycle. We don't have to live that way. God gave us His Word to show us that's craziness. That's like a yo-yo life. We don't have to be yo-yo Christians. Anyway. Anytime we feel like we are hearing from the Lord, we must test that word against Scripture. Do you realize that? We have to. It's one of the reasons we must know the Word of God. We must be students of God's Word. I'm not saying that we've got to be PhD theologians in order to hear God's voice. Don't get me wrong there. I'm just saying that we've got to be students of God's Word. We've got to spend time in God's Word, so that we understand His voice. And so that then when we hear His voice and we hear voices and things coming in from other methods and means, that we are able to discern that against the Word of God. Does it line up with God's Word? Does it line up with the principles in Scripture? Does it contradict Scripture? If this word that I'm hearing or this thing that I'm really sensing in my heart or in my conscience or in that inner voice, if I'm hearing something or the circumstances of life, if it contradicts the Scripture, if it contradicts God's character, then I know I'm not hearing God's voice. I need to shut that voice out and turn that voice off and say no to what I'm hearing because it contradicts God's Word. And we know that God does not contradict Himself. He doesn't. He knows who He is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But if we feel a leading in a direction from God in some other way, God's Word is going to support that. You know, sometimes it works this way. I mean, I'm just going to run through some different ways that we can hear from God. I'm going to kind of pepper the rest of the sermon with these kind of things. Kind of works this way. We get this thought. Maybe we're driving in the car and we're kind of praying and we're asking God to help us for the day, or how do I deal with a situation, with a relationship situation. And we kind of get this idea that I need to forgive them. Maybe we get to the office or we get to where we're going and we pop open the Bible because we're going to do our quick little 2-minute little Bible study, which I don't recommend just 2 minutes, but you open it up and what do you see? Forgive others. 70 times 7 or some verse like that. You start getting this common theme happening and you start to go, okay, God, you really are in this. But if you were in the car and you were getting all upset about that person that you just had lunch with and you're heading home and you're feeling like, you know what, I need to write them a letter and I need to tell them how badly they've wronged me and I need to make sure that they understand the hurt that they're doing in my life and I need to point that out because they need to know. They need to know. Then you get home and by God's grace you do open up your Bible beforehand, or the Holy Spirit puts into your mind that scripture, forgive. 70 times 7. Turn the other cheek. And you're like, oh, maybe that voice I was hearing or that feeling that was rising up inside, maybe that wasn't from the Lord. Because it doesn't line up with Scripture. God's Word has been and will continue to be the primary method used to speak to His church. It will be. It'll be the primary method. Not the only method. Definitely not the only method, but the primary method. Do you want to know what God is thinking? Read the Bible. Do you want to know what God thinks about you? Read the Bible. Do you want to hear the voice of God? Do you want more insight into God's mind, into His heart? Read the Bible. There's a method that I've used for years. It's called the SIP method. Some people call it the SOAP method. I simplified it because I'm a simple man. I got 3 steps, not 4 steps. But basically it goes like this. I read Scripture, S. Read Scripture. And then I get my little journal out, or in my case, I open up my Word document that's like hundreds of pages long now, and I type in some insight. What's God saying? So that makes me meditate on God's Word and think about it. God, what are you saying here? What are you saying in general, theologically, but then what are you saying specifically to me today as I'm studying this Word? How does it affect my life? How should it affect my life? And then, out of that time, I pray. I intentionally pray what I've just read, what God's just spoken to me. I thank Him for speaking to me through His Word. And I hear God's voice that way, and I get direction in my life that way. And I go deeper in my relationship with God because I'm being, again, intentional about hearing His voice. I'm using the Bible, which, again, is the primary method that He's used to speak to the church. I'm using that, and I'm also engaging in sitting, waiting, listening, meditating on the Word, and then going into prayer and praying it and speaking it over my life. And in that process, I'm hearing from God, and I'm being blessed, and we're communicating with one another. How many of you do those kind of things intentionally in God's Word stuff? It's awesome. It's good to see so many hands going up. It works. It works. Do you want to hear God's voice? Be intentional. Get in His Word. listen, pray. I want to talk about this inner voice, this inner dialogue thing too. Because it happens in all of our lives. Right? We have this inner dialogue that's going on in our mind, in our conscience at all times. Going on all day long. Thoughts are popping into our head. Right? This happens there. It doesn't just happen to me right now. I'm not some crazy man, right? Does this happen to everybody here? You kind of have that inner dialogue going on. The thoughts popping in your head all day long. Some are good thoughts. Some are bad thoughts. Some are very easy to identify as bad thoughts. And we need to get rid of those quickly. But we've got this whole inner dialogue thought thing going on all day long in our heads. It's like that classic picture. You've seen it in the cartoons. You got the devil on one shoulder, the angel on the other. They're whispering into the ears, telling the person what to do. That's very real. That's going on all day long in our lives, in everybody's life. It's a spiritual thing. It really is. It's a primary place for spiritual warfare. It's that battlefield of our thoughts, of our mind. The devil knows if he gets us with some stinking thinking that we start living bad. That we start doing foolish things and we start walking away from what God has for us because we're thinking the wrong way and we're taking the wrong advice. You guys, if you're a businessman, very important who you're listening to, where you're getting your advice. Because if you take the wrong advice, you might be out of business in a few weeks. Because you might do something really foolish. The same thing in life. What voice, what advice, who are we listening to? So we have this inner dialogue going on. You've got the counterfeit. We talked about the counterfeit and the real deal a little bit earlier, right? So you hear this voice. Let me give some examples of what might be going on in your heads periodically. The counterfeit saying to you, hey, did you hear what they said? Did you hear what that person said to you? You need to be offended. You need to take offense. You need to be angry. You need to get even with that person. But then you do have that other voice speaking into your life saying, forgive them. Love them. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Have mercy on them. Let it go. That's the voice of God. You've got the counterfeit. Says, man, you really messed up this time, buddy. You blew it. There's no way that you're going to ever find redemption after that one. You're a loser. Your bottom line, you're a loser, you're always going to be that way. That's the counterfeit. God's voice, though, is speaking. We got to be able to hear His voice because His voice is saying to us, you're my child. I love you. You made a mistake, but you're forgiven. I love you. Come back home. Let's get on with life. It's all going to be okay. You're the apple of my eye. You're the apple of my eye. That's God's voice speaking to us. The counterfeit says things like, hey, you need to make sure you take care of yourself. After all, you're worth it. You need to spend all your money on yourself. You need to spend all your time on yourself because you're worth it. And life is hard and you've had a tough week. You don't have time for other people right now. You need to take care of numero uno. I bet you every one of us hears that at least once a week. That's a nasty lie counterfeit from the devil that he likes to use on us. God's voice, though, he's speaking into our ears this way. He's saying, hey, I'll give you rest. Don't worry. I'll give you the rest you need. Give to others. Help your neighbor out. Help that family out in the church who's going through that really tough time. Love other people. Go the extra mile for them right now. You can do it. I'll give you all you need to do it. Trust me. Trust me. Who and what are we listening to? What are we going to allow in? It's really important. Because there is that inner dialogue going on. And it's a spiritual battle. And you are hearing the voice of God. But you've got to be intentional about hearing His voice and quickly shutting off the voice of the enemy. Shutting out the counterfeit quickly. Because the more we can turn the volume down on the counterfeit, the louder and the easier it is to hear the voice of God. that takes me to this other point that's coming to me right now, is that we need to be careful what we're allowing in. What voices are we allowing in? Who and what are we allowing to speak into our lives? What are we watching? What are we listening to? Who are we spending all of our time with? People who are speaking godly things into our lives? Or the other? Very, very important. Knowing God and knowing His Word helps us in all of this to identify His voice and helps us reject the counterfeit. Let me get to the third point. The third principle in hearing God's voice is we must be Holy Spirit-led people. We must be Holy Spirit-led people. We talked last Sunday about the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit is like trying to be a car without an engine. Doesn't get you very far. It's not very useful. Really hard. We're not the Flintstones. I'm sorry, it just didn't work that way. That was just a cartoon, all right? You can't just have your feet. You need an engine if you're a car. You need the Holy Spirit, and you need to be led by the Holy Spirit if you're a follower of Christ. And when we invite the fullness of the Holy Spirit into our lives, He will speak to us in that still small voice. I imagine every single person here who is in Christ, who has the deposit of the Holy Spirit in them. Even, what's beautiful is this, is God loves people so much that the Holy Spirit even speaks to people before they receive Christ. To get their heart ready. To prick their heart, to soften their heart so that they can receive and will receive Christ. They still need to make that decision. We need the fullness of the Spirit, though, is what I'm really talking about. We need the fullness so that we really can hear His voice and we give Him full access into speaking into our lives. So we can hear that still small voice, that voice in our conscience. May not be audible, but it's still very clear. And I imagine every single person in this room has heard that voice, that still small voice of God. Did you recognize it was the Lord? Did you test it against Scripture and said, "Wow, that is You, God. Thank You for speaking to me. I will respond to that." The Holy Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit, will give us dreams and visions. He'll give us those mind's eye pictures and those dreams and visions. I know that there have been many people here in the church praying for dreams lately, and you've been getting them. Just talking with Tracy Miracle. She's been getting a lot of dreams lately. And I said, "Praise God!" And she said, "I love it." Because it's an opportunity to hear from the Lord. He can speak to us that way. I encourage you, when you dream, journal your dreams. As soon as you wake up, write them down to the best of your ability. Write them down in case you fall back asleep. Write them down. Then spend time later that day seeking the Lord. "Lord, is this from You? Do You have a word for me in this? Can You lead me to some Scripture that You want me to go to at this time? What are You saying to me?" Maybe there's somebody in your life who is a mature Christian who's familiar with how God speaks and has heard God's voice through dreams in other ways. Maybe you talk to some of your Christian friends about this. Dreams and visions, mind's eye pictures, different things like that. The Holy Spirit uses those. The circumstances of life, the Holy Spirit can direct and speak to us through the circumstances of life. Opening doors, closing doors, sometimes billboards. We'll even, boom, God's like, you're like, "Whoa, okay, God, I think You just spoke to me." Sometimes I'll even look at that little sign that says "slow." I'm like, "Oh." And God will just use that. The Holy Spirit will just quicken in my mind and say, "I'm speaking to you, Eric. Slow down. Calm down. Slow down. Rest in me. You're getting a little out of control, a little fast." Words of knowledge or personal prophecy that He'll give other Christians that He'll use to speak into your life. Brother or sister in the Lord says, "Hey, the Lord's just been putting this on my heart, putting You on my heart, and I feel like He's saying this to you." He will use other believers to speak into your life. So important. I'm going to continue to preach it this way because it's so real that this is why we've got to come together as the body of Christ. This is why we cannot forsake the gathering of the saints. This is why it's so important that we're involved with other Christians purposefully, intentionally, in making room for each other to speak into each other's lives this way. Even making intentional room to hear from the Holy Spirit at that moment and give me a word, Lord, for my brother, for my sister. We bless one another that way. God uses those things, the Holy Spirit uses those things to speak to us. It's beautiful. We have to want it. We have to put ourselves in a position to hear His voice that way. And then the audible voice of God. I haven't heard the audible voice yet. I'm believing it will happen. If you heard my sermon yet, I say I haven't heard His audible voice yet. I long for it. I'm seeking it. I believe I'm going to get to hear it one day. God's just that good. I know He loves me. I know it. I'm going to hear it. But I still hear His voice. It says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to what is good. We must be Holy Spirit-led people. This is one of the reasons we're doing this prophetic time, every one of our Sunday morning services, because God is speaking to us and through us to others in the congregation. And we're hearing His voice in that way because we're allowing the Holy Spirit to use the gifts and for those things to flow in our gatherings. We do these kind of things in our prayer gatherings. It happened on Wednesday night in our prayer gathering. Instead of going into intercessory prayer, the Lord just took us into a time of speaking words and giving us pictures that we were speaking over the group. And we had people saying, that's me. That's totally me. I know that's me. And we had an opportunity then to pray for them, to minister to them. God speaking to us, opening up opportunities to bless us and minister to us. We got to put ourselves in the position to hear Him. We got to show up. This is why when I wake up in the morning, for instance, I purposefully and sincerely invite the Holy Spirit to lead me. I say, come Holy Spirit, speak to me. I'm yours. I got to have ears for You today. Guide me, direct me. You are my counselor. And I put myself intentionally in that place. I remind myself that I'm going to hear from the Lord today. And I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to be a Spirit-led person. We got to be intentional. Who are you? Well, then let's live that way. So actually hearing from God isn't so much a matter of if He's talking, but rather whether we're listening. We got to listen. We got to quiet ourselves. We've got to unplug from the craziness and the busyness of life. We've got to seek Him. We got to intentionally listen. We've got to incline our ear. We got to not listen just when we're looking for a big answer, like, you know, where do I move to? What job should I take? All of these big things. That, it's going to really be hard to hear from God then if you're not listening to Him all day long, all week long, all month long, all year long. Because you don't know His voice. We got to train ourselves to hear His voice. We got to spend time with Him. We got to know Him. We got to be His sheep who listen so that we can hear. Throughout Scripture, we find those people who heard God's voice. They're typically the people who were intentional about it. King David, the Apostle John are two. In Psalm 40, verse 1, King David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me. He heard my cry. The Lord responded to David. He moved. David waited patiently, sought the Lord answered. Apostle John, we just got done studying Revelation. In Revelation 1:10, it says, on the Lord's day, this is John writing, I was in the Spirit. I wasn't just busy with crazy stuff. I intentionally put myself in a position. I was in the Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, listening to God. And I heard behind me, I heard a loud voice like a trumpet. Could go into many others. Daniel, did he ever hear the voice of God? The dude fasted and he prayed and he got himself in that place to hear God's voice. He sought Him intentionally and he heard God. God hasn't changed. His ways haven't changed. We can hear God. That's awesome news. We just got to want it and be intentional about it. So hearing God's voice requires time with God through prayer and fasting, through His Word, through worship, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and just sitting quietly and listening. And when you sit quietly and listen and those silly, annoying thoughts are popping in your head, don't give up on listening to God. That's a distraction from the devil. Don't walk away from the voice of God because of a distraction. Take the thought captive, cast it off, just refocus. Maybe read the passage of Scripture again that you're on at that time. Just pray again. Lord, I quiet my heart before you. I'm here for you, not those silly thoughts. I focus on you, God. I focus on you. I'm here for you. Don't give up on God because of those silly thoughts popping in your head. In addition to His Word, God has given us other tools to test and know that the Lord is truly speaking to us. And I'm going to run through these quickly because I'm over my time. But I feel it's important that you hear this. Other tools that God uses so that we know that we're hearing from Him, godly counsel, number one. Where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety, Proverbs 11:14. What do other people who know the Lord, who hear from the Lord, what do they think about it? Run it by them. Don't do life in a vacuum. Don't try to hear God's voice alone, although He can speak to you when you're alone. But you will hear His voice so much more, so much clearer, if you're doing life in community with other believers. Running things by other believers. Allowing them to speak into your life and encourage you. You'll hear so much more. You really will. Got to have a group of people that you're praying with on a regular basis. Christians, believers, really do. Other way that God uses, another tool that He uses so that we know we're hearing from Him is confirmation. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. Confirmation. You feel like you hear something. You hear the voice of God in your conscience. Then you read Scripture that confirms that. Then you talk to a friend who talks about the same exact topic. And God just builds things. He starts confirming that there is something He's trying to tell you. Something that He wants to get through to you. Something that He's calling you to do or not do. And it's that process of confirmation, one thing after another. All done testing it with Scripture, though. And then there's the peace of God, frankly. Just the peace that God gives us. That we just know it's Him. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. To which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful, Colossians 3:15. Do you feel true peace? And it's not just using one form of confirmation or one way. It's using everything that God's given us to know that we're hearing His voice. To be intentional. Put ourselves in a position to hear Him, and we will. It's about relationship, though, at the end of it all. It's all about relationship. God is speaking to you. He wants you to hear. You were created to hear His voice. So I just want to say, let's get more of God. Amen. Let's be a people who get more of God. Let's pursue Him. Let's make our relationship with Him our number one priority. And let's hear His voice. Let's hear the voice of God. I encourage you, if you took notes, to go through these again this week. I encourage you to be intentional to put together a plan. To find places where you're going to be able to hear God's voice. Methods that we even talked about here this morning that are going to help you hear God's voice. Let's be intentional. Because I tell you what, the more you hear from God, the more I'm going to hear from God. The more you hear from God, the more I'm going to be blessed. Because I'm your brother in the Lord. And I'm doing life with you. And so as you are hearing from God and being led by the Holy Spirit, that affects me. That affects everyone in your church family. So I'm pleading, let's be a people who are intentional, who care enough about hearing the voice of God, that we're going to be intentional about it so that we can grow together and experience more of God together. It's His plan, it's His desire, and we will be blessed by it. Amen? Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God.